Hi, and welcome to Broken Broadway. I'm your host, Patrick J. Riley. With me today again is Joshua McDougall. Joshua,
hello.
Hi, how are you? Oh, there he is.
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm really excited about what we're doing today. The show we're talking about, this is a good show. This is genuinely a good show. I do like it. It's one of those weird shows where I'm just like, oh, did this need to be on Broadway? But I like the show a ton.
Before knowing what the show is, do you think it would succeed on Broadway today?
No, but for the
obviously
same reasons.
You would buy tickets.
I would buy tickets, but for the same reasons why I don't think it did well the first time. It's just a very small show that I think would work better either off Broadway or a smaller theater from where it played. Today we're talking about A Catered Affair. Joshua, do you know A Catered Affair at all?
Never heard of it.
You've never heard of it. It's a small show. It's what's known as a chamber musical. A chamber musical is essentially the same as almost saying like a black box. Like, you know, when someone says, "Oh, it's a black box production of a show," it means it's a very small, limited production. This is a chamber
black
musical.
Box shows.
Yeah, this is a chamber musical. You know. This is what it is. It's very good. I think it's very good. The book is very good. The music is gorgeous. The music is so beautiful. One of the most beautiful scores I have ever heard on Broadway.
Suddenly a shiny little ring for me to grab. All we have to do is take advantage of the situation.
A windfall.
Wedding and a free vacation.
We'll be partners almost there.
Feel like any moment I can walk on air.
Guess if you're lucky, one in one makes more than two.
You and me, partners, ain't it grand? We bet all the chips on a winning hand.
And it's even sweeter cause it's so long overdue.
And the music book is by Harvey Fierstein, who, you know, Harvey Fierstein, classic hero to
big fan in theory.
And why in theory?
I don't know much of his work, but I know him as a personality and I like his personality.
Yeah. Well, I gave you a Torch Song once to read. And did you read it?
So tell me more about this chamber musical.
Yep. That's right. And then John, I'm going to say his name wrong. I'm so sorry. John Buccino. I'm gonna say Pacino. John Pacino. He wrote the music and lyrics, and the music to this is so beautiful and sweeping and somber. It's gorgeous. This is based on a movie written by Gore Vidal. You know Gore Vidal?
I do. Yeah.
Yeah. And that
I'm
is
a big
actually
fan in theory.
Then there. So this. So it's. It was. So this musical is based on a movie that's actually based on a teleplay by Paddy Chayefsky. I can't say anyone's name. I'm so sorry. Tchaikovsky. I'm going to stop trying. Which was just, it was a teleplay, which was an episode. You know what teleplays are?
Yeah, like an episode of a show?
No, so they weren't episodes of the show. They were just plays that were written for television. There were a lot of playhouses where you would like watch, like kind of like a TV
movie.
Can you
give me an example?
Like of a famous one?
Yeah.
12 Angry Men.
One I might know, though.
Do you not know 12 Angry Men? Then I should have someone better on the show. Yeah, 12 Angry Men is a very famous teleplay that was then made into a movie. So the gotcha. There was a teleplay written by Patty, Tchaikovsky, who also famously wrote Network. You know Network? I'm gonna have more people on that aren't.
I've never heard of Network. I know the Network.
You've never heard of Network?
No.
You're just a.
I know the networks.
No, not it's not a fucking board game. It's considered to be one of the greatest screenplays ever written.
The 2018 Indian film.
What?
The 2018 Indian film Network.
Look up the fucking movie Network. Right,
that's
now.
A movie named Network.
Look up the movie Network on Google.
From 1976.
Yes, and that's the first thing that comes up, right?
Prepare yourself for a perfectly outrageous motion picture. Patty Tchaikovsky.
Tchaikovsky, right? Did I say that wrong?
I mean, I'm not positive I'm saying it right, but
yeah.
That's my guess.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. It's on AFI's Top 100.
Yeah, it's a great screenplay, but we're talking about A Catered Affair today. I'm going to have to cut out all of that. It's insane how little you know about culture.
I'm just skirting by.
No, because it's not even like things I mentioned that were like, oh, here's a deep cut. Here are like some tentpole examples that society knows.
Is Network the one with like the hand that reaches out of the TV screen?
No. That's They Live.
Is it the one where the head explodes?
Nope. That's Scanners.
Okay.
Network is the one where he's like, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Oh, with Bryan Cranston.
Yes, it was originally a play on Broadway. Yeah, it was recently a play on Broadway.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What a nightmare you are. Anyway, Cable Affair. Love you. Great show. Let's listen to a little bit of the music, shall we?
Let's do it.
It's a big thing, getting married. You gotta look before you leap. You gotta pick somebody to keep. So that when his hair is mostly gone and your waist is not so slim, you'll still be with him.
I've known Ralph for over 2 years now.
I'm not saying you don't know him, and I'm not saying he don't care, but still you gotta prepare. 'Cause whether or not there's presents and rice and all that stuff, soon enough there's sacrifice. So it's not all roses and it's not about dreams come true. No matter what I wish for you, it's more about things you have to do and you can't go throwing money around. I hope you got more than you pawned me. But even if you do, you can't go throwing it around. Especially when the children come.
I'm not married and you got me having children?
Go ask that friend in California. You'll have kids before you know it. Then your life won't be your own, even after they're grown. All the things you do without, all the nights you lie awake for your children's sake. So don't go thinking that it's all just one good time. Oh, there's some good times. But don't go thinking that it won't be an uphill climb, where you find yourself wondering how it ever got to be this way, wondering how you're gonna last another day. Wait, that isn't really what I meant to say, no.
So now, so that was the music. That was some music from, what you just heard was the song Married from A Catered Affair. What do you think, Josh?
I liked it. I didn't love it. Mm-hmm. There was a part where it got very old musical to me, which is not my forte. Yeah. When did this musical come out?
2008.
Why? I guess it was trying to capture that sound, right?
No, because it takes place in the 60s.
So they were going for that.
It's going for that tone, yeah. I know, yeah, because you don't really like musicals, essentially, like old style musicals.
I don't like old style ones that are like jazz hands that were in a musical, and
that's not what this is at all.
The roaring whatevers.
That's this.
Yeah,
this
I know, is, but there was a moment where the beat was sort of that rhythm.
I will say that this is structurally a very new style of musical. If you get what I'm saying, like structurally, like the plot and everything, it's very. I want to say, you know what? The closest thing I can say to this is there's a very famous musical by Rodgers and Hammerstein that was their least popular show. That was the first kind of chamber musical of its time, I would say, called Allegro. And this is as close to Allegro as I think we get for a modern musical, where that was a very simple story with very strong characters. I feel like chamber musicals don't do great on Broadway. Off the top of my head, I think the most successful one recently I can think of is Fun Home.
I do love Fun Home.
Yeah. I would say Fun Home.
I consider Hedwig one, because Hedwig's like a black book show.
Hedwig is...
When I saw it, I didn't see the Broadway production.
The Broadway production was... The original off-Broadway production was in a black box. That's also more... Mm-hmm. That's its own show. The thing, when it comes to chamber musicals, it's not just that, oh, it's a small production. It's a simple show. Like, this is a very simple show. The plot of this show is a husband and wife lose their son to the Korean War. They get a bit of money. At the same time, their daughter, who is a younger daughter to the boy who died, she and her boyfriend decide they're going to get married because their friends are getting married, and then they're going to move cross-country. And they need someone to drive a car cross country while they fly over because she's pregnant. So they decide that they're going to make their honeymoon the drive cross country. And it's going to line up. Their idea of the wedding is going to be a very small, quick wedding. But after meeting the groom's parents, they realize that this is going to be a huge catered affair that they're going to need to put money down. So they're going to take the money that they got from losing their son to put into this wedding. What's happening underneath this is the husband, the father, played by Tom Wolpat in this production, who's fantastic. He wants to use that money to buy another half of this taxi company that he's been a part of called the Medallion. And if he can buy this other half, he'll be almost a full-time owner. I think he'll be a full-time owner of owning this cab company, and he won't have to work as much. So that's what his dream was, just to get the money enough.
Was that the dad or Harvey Fierstein's character?
No, that's the dad, Tom Wolpat, who plays the father. Harvey Fierstein, okay. I haven't mentioned yet. So he's upset because he was going to save that money to buy the taxi company. The mother is she's upset because she's been in mourning since her son died, and now she feels that like they've never really given enough to the daughter because they put so much of their time and energy thinking that their son is going to be the one that's going to be the one who makes it successful, and then he ends up dying. So almost like as an apology to her daughter, she wants to give her daughter a big beautiful wedding because she never had a big beautiful wedding. She got pregnant, she became a housewife, and then her father gave her husband to Tom Wolpat, the father, the Tom Wolpat character. They gave him a job at the taxi company that he works at. So yeah, and then while this is all happening, the other thing too is they want to keep it to immediate family, the wedding. And immediate family means, you know, the parents and then the parents, the couple, and that's it. But they have an uncle that's living with them, which is a bachelor uncle. You know what the code is, played by Harvey Fierstein. And Harvey Fierstein, when he finds out that he's not being welcomed to the wedding, has he's a bit of an existential crisis because he's not immediate family to these people that is his only family. And then he decides that towards the end of the show that he's going to move in with this friend that he has that asked him to move in with him. And he's going to just go for it and do it because that this other guy treats him like family, and that's what he's searching for. It's a beautiful show. What I'm going to play for you right now is you're going to hear the song I Stayed, which is sung by the father in the Tom Wolpe part. After he's been accused by the wife, played by Faith Prince, that he's only there because he has to be. And it's a beautiful song.
And as your tally of my faults begins to mount, the one big thing that never ever seems to count is that I stay. Of course I want to give my kid a wedding, but I think blowing 20 years of savings on one night isn't right. Is it a crime? But can't you see my side of things this one time? I nearly had another piece of the medallion. I nearly made that dream come true. Maybe wanting it so much was being selfish, but I wanted it for you, to show you I could make a go, to prove I didn't need your father's dough. I stuck it out when times got tough, to show you I was good enough, to show you I deserved you, and to prove to you, to prove to you. What's the use?
So Josh, what did you think of, what do you think of the music to this in general?
Generally, I like it. That one was tough, but not because it was bad, but because it was just like a rough premise. It's sad.
Yeah, it's a sad show.
Do they ultimately stay together?
Yes, they stay together, and they kind of find that. Well, once he has that speech, that he's like, "I stayed," and then he's like, "I almost had a piece of the medallion," and all that stuff. And then he says that, like, you know, I stayed, and it's because I love you I stayed. It's not because I have to do here. It's not because this is my lot in life. It's because I still love you every day. And it's this beautiful
It reminds
moment.
Me a bit of Do You Love Me from Fiddler.
But, yeah, okay. That's a good
Which I will say, I prefer Do You Love Me. But I think I prefer Do You Love Me because it's, like, two-sided. It's the both of them sort of trying to figure that out.
Yes.
Versus this one is... very sad.
Well, she has that moment, not with the husband, but this is when she's picking out the dress with her daughter. She sings a song called Married. This song, Married, is it's the song that she has where she just basically discusses, you know, I got married because I was pregnant and we went to City Hall and we did it real quick, but the fact that my daughter's going to have like a big, nice wedding is wonderful. And the daughter the whole time does not want a big wedding. She wants a quick wedding just to get out of the way. Because she's in love with her husband, and that shouldn't nothing should get in the way of that.
It seems the dad wants it that way too. He wants it to be quick and cheap.
Yes. The reviews for this were a little mixed. A lot of reviewers and audiences honestly kind of felt like this was a little too dour. A lot of people going into this when you see a book by Harvey Fierstein, also starring Harvey Fierstein, usually he does, you know, funnier shows, like bigger, broader comedies, especially in musical theater. But with this is a sad show. It's a sad show. The book is a little sad. It was directed by John Doyle, who you love, because he did the Rollo Sparza Company in 2007, 2008 also.
Famously, I love that.
Yes. So
that and Falsettos are like my two favorite shows.
Yeah. So he directed that, and he directed this, and he directed that with the same kind. He directed the show with the same kind of. It's very smooth. So the set for this is a very simple like kitchen set layout, or like a bed will come in. But the backdrop is the apartment building, and there's a few numbers. Like the cast is very small. The cast is the mother, the father, the daughter's boyfriend, the uncle Harvey Fierstein, Uncle Wynn, two nosy neighbors. The mother and father of the other, the groom, and the other guy who works at the cab company with the father. The guy who works at the cab company and the father of the bride are played by the same actor, and one of the nosy neighbors is also played by the same actress as who plays the mother of the groom. So it's a very small show. But even story-wise, it's a pretty, like, very small. There's no act break. It happens.
Just about a couple. It's not about, like,
yeah,
end of the world or anything.
It's not even like end of the world. It's not even like everyone's lives are changed at the end of this. The musical starts with they're gonna get married. They get married at the end. The uncle moves out, but it wasn't like, oh, I'm furious for moving out. It's him realizing that he needs his own. I mean, so the song that I'm about to play for you right now is called Coney Island. It's towards the end of the show. It's technically the finale because they do a reprise right after this that you're about to hear. You're about to hear the first part, which is just a ballad by Uncle Winslow, played by Harvey Fierstein, and that's what you're going to listen to right now.
I remember you and me as kids, the time we went to Coney Island, and I made you ride the roller coaster from the start. You closed your eyes, and at the end, you looked all lost and sad. You paid your money, took the ride, but missed the You're halfway through another ride. Don't wait until the scary feelings pass. Just take a breath and open up your eyes right now.
I love that song, Coney Island. When I saw this on Broadway, I wept during that. What do you think of Coney Island?
So this is one that you actually saw on Broadway?
Yeah, I saw this.
I think it's good. I think this is probably my favorite song that I heard, despite the fact that, I mean, we can be honest, Harvey Fierstein's not the best singer, but he works well with what he has.
No, I disagree. I think that he's very aware of where he's at vocally, and he works it into the character.
Yes, no, that's what I mean, that he's not like, want to listen to him singing karaoke. But yeah. I think that he does a good job with the music that he writes for himself or does for himself.
There are
but
so
mostly
many...
this song stands out as my favorite because I love the line about the roller coaster. Mm-hmm. You paid your money, took the ride, but missed the view.
Yeah, I was about to say that line actually verbatim also. That line is so fantastic because it sums up the show. It sums up what the show is in a beautiful phrase. It's this woman got married. She had a life with this man. And now it's towards the end of her, you know, it's the end of her having to be married to this man. And it's like, well, I missed the, you were too busy focusing on, you know, all the misfortune. You missed the fact that this guy does actually love you.
And without even watching the show, I got that feeling that that was sort of the summary theme of the show.
Yes. So this show ran at the Walter Kerr Theater in 2008. From April 17th to July 27th, it ran 27 previews and 116 performances. So that was, you know, that was it. I really do like this show a whole lot. The other people in the show too that I remember like loving was Leslie Kirshner, who was in Beetlejuice recently, but she is so fantastic in this. She's incredible in everything I've ever seen her. She always steals the show. But in this, she is so subdued. Everyone in this is subdued. One of the big criticisms of the show is that Faith Prince, who stars in this as Aggie, who's the mother, she's known for like musical comedy. And everyone's kind of like, well, you put this big musical comedy woman in this very subdued role. Why did you not use her to her full potential? And I'm like, I disagree. I think she acts the shit out of this role. I think she's great. I think that's very present when you hear the song Married. It's great. I really do love it. I've been trying to find out if the man who wrote the music for this, John Mercutio, this is his only Broadway show.
I mean, the little bit I've heard, it doesn't seem like someone's first show. He definitely seems experienced.
Yeah, I mean, he is. He's written other this is his first Broadway show. He's written a ton of stuff, and he's done a lot of songs, but this is like his first big thing. I think this music is so incredible, and the score is so sweet and beautiful. It's a little, you know, I just find it's a little upsetting that it's not like his, you know, that this wasn't like the thing that took him to stardom and made him like a household name, like Pasek and Paul, or
I really, it wasn't his jumping off point.
Basically. It wasn't his jumping off point. And I really, cause I mean, his melodies are gorgeous. His lyrics are so good. He's the one who wrote that line. You know, you're halfway there and you, a song by Harvey Farstein.
Yeah. Good impression.
Thank you. I do have a Harvey. I'm not going to do it though. Fuck, I'll do it. You paid your money. You took the ride, but you missed the view. What do you think?
It's a really good impression.
Thank you. He was in the room.
It's really good.
Yeah. Let's talk about awards.
Are you guys lovers? Is there something I should know about?
Wish. I fucking wish. This was nominated for Best Actor in a Musical. It was nominated for Best Actress in a Musical. It was nominated for Best Orchestrations at the Tony Awards. And that's it. This musical won the Drama League Award. It won Best Outstanding New Broadway Musical and Distinguished Production of a Musical. And that's it. So I don't think this ever could have been a hit on Broadway. I mean, I'm surprised.
It's pretty early after the last release, but if it relaunched now, do you think it would do better at least?
No, I don't think it would do better either. I think this is what it was always going to be. I'm surprised this was ever on Broadway. I feel like this could have played off Broadway for a few years, you know, maybe even a little longer production wise, because you could have probably scaled it back a ton. But like one of my favorite musicals of all time, actually with Faith Prince in it, is A Man of No Importance, which is a show I can never talk about it because it never transferred to Broadway. It was always off Broadway at Lincoln Center. But that reminds me of this so much because it's also a very small chamber musical. And the fact that this was on a major Broadway stage with a huge set, it didn't need any of that. If this could have been done quietly in a small proscenium theater, and I think this would have been a bigger hit and better received, honestly, because a lot of people, when you come to see a catered affair, the poster makes it look like this big, like this beautiful, like kind of like 1950s Norman Rockwell painting. And when you look at Harvey Fierstein writing the book, I immediately assume, oh, it's going to be a big, flashy, fun musical, because I know Harvey from La Caja Falls, and I know Harvey from Legs Diamond, which was, you know, Hairspray. Last week's episode. Well, he's in Hairspray, but he didn't write the book to Hairspray. But, you know, it's just, I just don't, as much as I really enjoyed this musical, and I really do enjoy this musical, I can't imagine it ever doing well on Broadway, just for what it is, you know?
Yeah, I agree that it does sort of like present itself as something else with the poster.
Yeah.
I like that it's a very nice looking poster.
The poster is great.
It really captures like beautiful, a 50s feel.
But it also captures the story, you know? Mm-hmm. You have the taxi, it is a classic bride and groom like wedding mount on top of a taxi. Like one of those taxi like lights that says taxi on it. And then you have the mother sitting up longingly looking at them, the father looking down in, you know, his anxiety of like, you know, what's he going to be able to do with this? And then you have a very seductive looking Harvey Fierstein.
Just lounging.
Lounging around.
But also the dad looking down, you made a good point of mentioning that like he's struck with anxiety and he's looking down. But without the context of the show going into it, it does sort of look like he's looking down, like he's just a grumpy old man and something's bothering him, but it's not a big deal. It's going to be some played for joke thing. But yeah, actually listening to the show, you could tell he's got serious stuff going on too.
Yep. I agree. So this was catered affair. Final thoughts is I really do enjoy the show. Josh, is this a show that you'll go out and seek and listen to the rest of the soundtrack?
No.
All right. Well, I hope you guys.
It's not bad, and I recommend people do. It's just not my style.
No, it's
of musical.
Yeah, you like them big, you like them flashy, you like them Joe Iconis.
Yeah. I like Joe Iconis. I like Michael Cervases.
Michael
Services.
Michael Cervases.
Severus. Michael Severus Snape. Yeah, I like shit like that. I like the modern stuff. So despite the fact that this is a more modern show as far as like it, when it was released, it's set in a time and it sort of emulates the music of a time that is not my style.
Yeah. I completely understand. But I hope you guys at home do get a chance to listen to the soundtrack to A Kid at a Fair. Like I was telling actually Josh when we were listening to the music, the great thing about the soundtrack to Cater Fair is they recorded the majority of the show. So you can listen to it and it has all the dialogue and it has some really beautiful, all the music, all the incidental music. So you really get a full picture of what this show was just listening to the soundtrack. And I love when shows do that because it makes someone like me who at 4 a.m, I just want to download a soundtrack. I can listen to it and be like, oh, I kind of understand where this is going. Just happened recently when I downloaded A Strange Loop. And I listened to A Strange Loop. I'm like, oh, thank God they recorded so much of the actual dialogue and scenes where I'm kind of aware what's happening. Did you listen?
Yeah, that's to what Strange I would Loop. Go listen to instead, rather than listening to the rest of this. I'm going to listen to A Strange Loop again.
Yeah. That's more your speed.
If you want to hear more about A Strange Loop, please listen to my other podcast, Christopher Durang's Actor's Nightmare, a theater podcast, also on iTunes and Spotify.
So yeah, thank you guys for listening. If you guys want to recommend a musical that we talk about, please at me on Twitter, at NotPatRiley. I'm here again with Josh. If you guys have a Twitch account, go to Josh's Twitch, now_showing, and he'll show you. Now, Twitch is like an OnlyFans, Josh, is that correct?
Correct, except I don't get naked myself. I find video games that exploit the characters and make them naked for you.
There you go. That actually sounds like a good idea. That's a
you want to see Tomb Raider with some mods? You get some polygon breasts?
All right. So, thank you guys for being for listening, and I'll see you next week.
Page of money took the ride but missed. You're halfway through another ride. Don't wait until the scary feelings pass. Just take a breath and open up your eyes right now.